The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Austin Aries. This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Samoa Joe.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
There's some sort of high-toned and fancy to-do up at the fort, eh?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Any man who falls behind is left behind.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
He said you'd say that.
With your hosts, Kim Stein.
I apologize if I seem forward, but I must speak my mind.
The Omega.
A craftsman is always pleased to hear his work is appreciated.
Heartbreak Mike.
Why is the run gone?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I believe you made a very good decision today.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Gents, our hope is restored!
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
For 10 years we've been tested and tried.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
WTR Sunday Night.
Every man worth his salt. And crazy to boot.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done with a marathon that was SummerSlam 2016, otherwise known as the annual event where WWE pays Brock Lesnar to attempt to murder someone.
Rage.
Omega.
Man.
He cost me my perfect week.
I'm sad for you, Rock. I really am.
You should be. He cost me my perfect week.
Uh-huh.
Everything was going so glorious up until then.
Your perfect week that's lasted 2 days?
Kind of.
28 hours.
Not even.
Yeah, a little over a day.
Not even, because we don't talk about No Way Jose. Anyway.
It's perfect in dog weeks.
Yes.
Math works out somewhere. I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
The word for the day is rage.
It's your catchphrase.
Yes, because... Oh, God, we'll see.
We'll see. He's raging.
Yes, I am raging.
Spoiler alert.
But is he doing it against the machine?
No. I'm well, technically yes, because I chose the wrong pick when I said the right pick on the air. Keep going.
You just pulled a Subway. Anyway.
And of course, trying to keep all of this on the on the railroad tracks and failing horribly most of the time, the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, we left the train tracks miles behind us. What are you talking?
I have to make it sound like we're trying.
Some of us are going to try to keep this on track.
Yeah, well, you know, good luck with that. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the SummerSlam edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us. Konnichiwa to Nick listening all the way in Japan and everybody else wherever the hell you are. And a special hello to Michael Peterson over in Swedenland. Celebrated a birthday last week, if I remember correctly. Can't always listen live, but I know that he always listens to the archive. So belated happy birthday to you, Michael. Thanks for continuing to listen on a regular basis.
That was what you call a Tim Stein shout-out, presented by Man Kitchen, because the Man Kitchen on Facebook probably told him he had a birthday.
Something told me he had a birthday.
Probably Facebook.
It could have been a little Facebook bird in my ear. Angry bird. Angry face bird. I'm sure I attempted to make an apple fritter today.
Attempted?
Yes.
And how did that turn out?
We're not sure. I'm still letting it cool down after I just finished glazing it. So it should be ready by the end of this SummerSlam reaction show.
by the end of this show.
Well, you want me to get it sooner?
How hot did you make it?
Well, I fried it in, you know, oil in my deep fryer.
It could be 12,000 degrees and it'd still be cool by the time we got done halfway through this SummerSlam.
All right, fine. Then I'll go. We'll try it out after our only commercial break and see how it turns out. Will that be good?
This is acceptable.
Okay, then we shall actually attempt a live taste test on the air during WTR Sunday night. How does that sound?
That, everyone, is what you have to look forward to tonight here on Russell Talk Radio.
Food Talk Radio.
All right, so...
I'm sorry, Tim. I kind of hope it tastes like battery acid because it'd make better radio.
Okay, now you're just making me upset.
So, yeah. So this show was amazing tonight. I mean, we had conga lines, we had violins, we had glorious entrances. Oh.
Whoa. Oh.
Wait, no, wrong notes.
Moist.
Wrong notes.
Get the right notes.
This one.
Don't hit a sour note.
This was the 6-hour show. Oh my god. It was a 6-hour show. Thank you, WWE, for making this a 6-hour show. So, the show opened with me picking Antonio Brown in my fantasy league. Oh, wait, never mind. The show opened with the Vaughn Villains Ascension.
What the fuck are you doing with your notes?
I had a fantasy draft today. Football. Anyway.
Weird.
Vaughn Villains Ascension and Breezango took on the Usos, American Alpha, and the Hype Bros. This was a match. Who saw it?
I didn't see it. I was out hunting Pokemon.
Anyone else?
I did a black thing when you got fried chicken, so I didn't make it.
Whoa. You know what? I'm sick and tired of that racist stereotype. I like fried chicken. I'm not black. Shut up.
And Kool-Aid.
Okay, you win. As long as it's great.
Goes get the red punch.
Well, that works, dude.
Okay, taking the show back on track.
Good luck. I told you.
I know. This matchup was given a lot of time. It got good when everyone started hitting their own finishers on everyone. That sort of was a thing. American Alpha hit Grand Amplitude, but there was a blind tag by an Uso. The Uso hit the splash. So Team Uso, Ascension, and Hypros win. But it looks like we're going to be setting up American Alpha versus the Usos for whatever the Intergalactic Galaxy Championships are with SmackDown.
Dear God. Yep.
Whoa, back up. Who won?
The Team Hype Bros Alpha Uso.
How did you sneak the Ascension in there?
I didn't.
I heard the Ascension.
You said Ascension.
Did I? Oh.
Yep.
Change your notes.
Rock fucked up.
Rock is now on his fourth set of notes for the night. Hopefully these are the correct ones.
Hopefully these are the correct ones. I don't know why I said Ascension.
No more fantasy notes. Stick with the script. Wait.
What? Anyway, Babyface SmackDown team wins. That's actually who I have written down as the winner. Babyface SmackDown teams picked up the win.
As opposed to SmackDown heel team.
Yeah.
I was stuck with the heel team because I picked two heels to win.
You did. So, actually, you should pick one heel and one face, and the intern gave you the heels.
Oh, I picked a heel and a face, and so the intern screwed up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm going to blame that on the intern and make that my one win. I'll pick him for tonight.
Anyway, Baron
Corbin. Yeah, we might be competing for last on that tonight.
It's going to be a tight race. I have a funny feeling on that.
And I got to do the intern's job and actually count these up at some point. Anyway, Baron Corbin had a match.
Counting to two shouldn't be hard.
Yeah, dumbass is working. Yeah, they're just surprised.
I know, right? Baron Corbin had a mad at Kalisto because he was not medically clear to compete tonight. Called him scared. Says he cost him money for not being able to fight tonight. If everyone watched SmackDown Live on Tuesday nights, that was a little creepy between Kalisto and Corbin. It had me remembering Heidenreich and Michael Cole.
Yeah, I thought Heidenreich as soon as I saw that.
it was creepy. At least he was wearing pants. So anyway, I got nothing.
We take it where we can get it.
You know he went exactly the wrong direction with it.
So you want the transition from thank God he was wearing pants and oh my God Neville was not wearing a cup. You had Neville and Sami Zayn taking on the Dudley Boys and in this matchup Neville's ball got exposed.
Oh no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. His ball got exposed.
Oh, God. First Janet, now this.
Was this before or after the complaint lodged by the guy in Michigan?
That Michigan complaint was back in 2015, so before.
Okay, so after.
So after, yeah. I just...
We gotta talk about that later.
Yeah, there was another one, too. That's, these complaints are just amazing. So, yes, Dudley's had miscues, and Sammy and Neville and his ball won. I have no better way to describe it other than Neville's ball was exposed and it was all over Twitter.
So it was.
So if you want, go search out Neville Ball on Twitter and you'll see Neville's ball.
Okay, I don't want to see Neville's ball.
Neville, the ball that defied gravity! Literally.
Like, Bubba pulled his tights and you just saw it come right out. That's the way it looked in the picture. So, Sammy and Neville win.
Gravity trying to remember him.
Yeah. Hey, at least Sammy Zayn got to have a match. That's a plus.
So good for Sammy Zayn, the future Zack Ryder.
Wow.
Hopefully not.
I hope not. It's just starting to feel that way.
Cesaro and Sheamus in the first of the 17,000 matches they're going to have in the next month or so. Best of seven, match number one, Cesaro and Sheamus. Did anyone see this one? I have to know.
I saw some of it.
Okay. Tim?
Well, you already know that I wasn't able to.
Okay. So, Cesaro and Sheamus had the typical Cesaro and Sheamus match. Good thing I'm on the show. Actually watch the product. This was a pretty decent matchup between the two guys. Sheamus pulled out the win.
Yay! Six to go! Because best of sevens never end before seven.
Yeah, it's always a tiebreaker.
This would be a classic best of seven match if it wasn't involving Sheamus.
And technically it's a best of nine because we've already done this twice.
Oh, fuck me.
No one remembers that. Don't tell anyone that.
It was only 2-3 weeks ago.
Brain damage.
That we had those two matches.
So match number 27, the rubber match.
So technically, Cesaro is up 2-1. But in reality, Sheamus is up 1-0. So before we get into the main show, to get you guys involved, we had a new set for SummerSlam. Everyone happy we got a new set? Is everyone happy on the internet they got a new set?
Finally, no more lazy stage. Pretty.
All right, one at a time.
And go.
Oh my god.
Yes, yes, the new set was pretty and it showed off a lot of fancy graphics. It's much better than rolling out the Raw set and putting up a new light.
Mike, thoughts?
No more laziness.
So we also had LED ring post.
Big mistake.
Ring post big enough to stand on.
As we found in the Sheamus Cesaro match. Where he did fly off the ring post.
Oh dear God.
Are we not a fan of the new ring post, Tim?
No, Tim is not as somebody involved in the sports entertainment game. I would not like using those ring posts.
How come?
Well, it comes up in a match later on in SummerSlam that we're going to talk about in a bit as to the reason why. But as a wrestler, a guy working in the ring, you are for your entire career from training to making it to wherever it is you're wrestling. You are used to having those ring posts at a certain height, certain distance from the ropes, in a certain place, to be able to avoid certain things from happening. Like losing your teeth by accidentally hitting the top of the thing.
Good information to know. I was just seeing coming up next on Holy Foley, and it's special. So we get to the main show. Do we all see the main show?
There was a main show.
There's a major.
Yes.
I'm sorry, a Pikachu came up. I ran out. Took 3 hours.
Jesus Christ.
There was an extended Raw program tonight. Is that what you're...
So, the main show opened with Enzo Amore and Big Cass taking on Jericho.
How you doing?
So, did he drop every single New York reference that he could possibly think of?
He may have missed two or three, but being as I'm not from New York, I'm not sure.
Just a couple of haters.
I'm sure there's a lot more he could have made.
Probably a lot more he could have made. And I love that Corey Graves, who is the best announcer WWE has right now, should say commentator. Announcer goes to Ronaldo. But he's the best commentator. After Enzo was done, he reminded us that he's from New Jersey, not New York. It was brilliant. So what did everyone think of this one? We'll start with Mike. Alright, expert analysis right there. Omega. Just gonna keep moving. Omega, thoughts on this match?
There's a certain flow to end zone cast matches that I'm getting a little bit tired of.
Uh-huh.
And to be fair, that's pretty much what you get out of, like, the big man, little man routine, where you're kind of just tossing the little guy around and letting him get in some fast offense before, well, the big guy has to get tagged in to actually get the match done. God damn, these two work so well, though.
So I read this on Twitter, and I think I read it a few times on Twitter, that the Enzo toss should be an Olympic sport.
The Enzo toss.
Okay, cute.
God. I know, it's a fun match. I mean, you know, Cass and Enzo work amazing together. Owens and Jericho have good chemistry. There's one point in the match where Owens blows a kiss to Jericho, and I about lost everything.
And he lost everything as he missed the cannonball right after.
Yeah.
That I had to chuckle over. I'm like, wait, Chris!
This is fucking funny.
Kevin Owens was having so much fun in this matchup, mocking Enzo Amore. Everything on the apron and everything. It was just, Kevin Owens was the star of this match.
Kevin Owens is awesome. I don't care if he's from Quebec. Said the Western Canadian.
And we learned, and here's the thing, we actually learned Enzo Amore actually has a finishing move. It's called the DDG.
What the fuck?
I believe that was a what the fuck, but.
Yeah, I heard a what the fuck.
Yeah, but he has a finishing move. It did not work, as most finishers tonight did not work.
Oh no. It's one of the big four. This is where finishers go to die.
They're all just signatures, not finishers.
Mm-hmm.
Owens broke it up to count. Owens lifted up Enzo into a codebreaker. I don't think he got him high enough, but he got it anyhow. Codebreaker for the win. Owens and Jericho.
Surprise and shock. I didn't expect to see them go over.
No, typically mongrel heel tag teams like that do not get wins. But then again, these two work really well for two guys just thrown together.
Yeah, they definitely have one of those, instant chemistry, sets going. And, they're fun to watch. I hope that they keep tagging up here and there because they are fun to watch.
Should mention on the pre-show they did a bit with Tom Phillips again because on Raw they, you know, called him every name in the book. So they apologized and called him Philip. And Phillip. Jericho also said he is now a certified G. He has a paper to prove it. But Kevin left it at the hotel. But he took a course and became a certified G. And Jericho's like, you can't teach chemistry. And Owen's like, yes you can. I learned it in school. I got a 98.
It's just, you know, the little things.
It really is just the little things.
It really is.
I love Kevin Owens' humor. It's awesome.
Oh, yeah. There was one spot, I believe, on the last Raw where they're going back and forth backstage in the interview. They just keep pulling the microphone back toward each other.
Uh-huh.
To continue each other's lines. And then, like, Jericho delivers a line, and then just Kevin Owens just, like, grabs the mic, moves it back over to him, and then just leaves.
Yeah.
Keep trolling me, Kevin. Keep trolling.
Pretty much. Oh, at this point, I should tell everyone, go to RussellTalkRadio.com, vote in the all-time greatest, because we'll be determining another round here later in the show. And now, 1 year later, John Stewart returns to the scene of the crime.
He just doesn't. Oh, he looks a little ratty.
He does. He was backstage with his kid. He ran into Foley. And...
he's unemployed. What do you expect?
Right. Actually, I think he has a job now. I think.
Oh, right. Yeah, HBO's giving him something during the political season.
Yeah. So he ran into Shane and Brian with his kid, and he was talking, wondering why Mick Foley is working for Stephanie, and she calls about, says a bunch of things, like abuse of power, and, you know, Stephanie walks up behind, and he sort of backtracks, and New Day walked up, and they stole Jon Stewart, because they were all about positivity, and they needed someone to replace Big E, and Stephanie said she's misunderstood.
And what did Shane say as soon as Stephanie said that?
I don't know what she, what did he say?
He took a shot.
Do you remember the shot?
I remember it, that he took a shot. I'm trying to remember what the shot was.
See, I did not catch the shot.
Okay, well, he took a shot, something about, par for, along the line for par for the course or something like that. Like, good job, Steph, same as always.
Okay.
Or some, you know, something along that
something
line. It was a good shot. I just wish I could remember it.
Alright, well,
what? Do what my mom does and say, well, it couldn't have been that good if you didn't remember it.
Okay, remind us in like 15 minutes.
Because
he'll come back on TV in about 15 minutes. So, anyway.
Catch the shot.
We'll try to catch the shot. Anyone watching replay, try to catch the shot in like 15 minutes. Oh, and then, Tim, we come to the Women's Championship. Sasha God, Banks and Charlotte.
Okay, Lindsay, go home.
She is home now.
There you go. Yeah. Well, she was at home earlier, too.
She was home earlier, too, yes.
I am disappointed in this after everything that we've been given for the last, like, 3 months with the women's division. You and I don't want to say I was actually complaining. I was being critical and critiquing it, and it just felt, I don't know, were they nervous because it was SummerSlam?
See, okay. I thought they were rushing very early. I really thought that.
Yeah.
Because it did end up slowing down. But,
like I said, that could have been a case of nerves.
I don't know what it was, but Charlotte had some plans to kill Sasha. I don't know what happened, why she's mad at Sasha, but she wanted to kill her.
And we're not talking storyline, kids.
Oh, no.
Who the fuck was that spot when she had her up on the top ropes?
An absolute fucking botch. That's what that was.
Yeah, just like fucking, I don't know what she was going for, but What she did should have paralyzed Sasha.
It damn well could have. Sasha
just kind of just jumped out of the corner and just dumped her.
Twice in this match tonight, two and a half times, Sasha could have wound up a quadriplegic with some of the shit. And listen, if you're going to do a Hurricanrana, look behind you, like orient yourself where the goddamn mat is, wrestlers.
So Tim is quoting that sort of from Will Ospreay, who made the tweet. Just going to give credit where credit is due on that one.
Yeah, I was paraphrasing, so it's okay.
There was also a botched Glory Buster. As she just dropped her on her face.
Boom.
And we come to find out Sasha was hurt going into this match. So
now,
her...
I heard, now, not to break your flow here, Rock, but to, after the fact, I heard that she'd actually been nursing some nagging injuries for a couple of weeks, like even before she was given the title on Monday Night Raw.
That doesn't surprise me.
Now, here's the thing. Why did WWE give her the title on Monday Night Raw? I'll tell you why. They needed to make some kind of a splash because of the brand split, blah, 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 blah. We got to ramp it up because we got to make sure shit goes down. And if we're doing good and give people something shocking, then they'll tune into SmackDown and our ratings will go up and we'll make more money there too, blah, blah, blah. The plan was for her to drop the title anyway.
Well, we knew the original plan going in was for Sasha to be coronated at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what we heard for months. And then, well, we're going to do a brand split and we need something to get attention, so you're winning the title now. And then SummerSlam comes up. I hate to tell you, but your in-ring style doesn't work when you're on a full-time road schedule.
Charlotte Queen.
It's a little bit rough on you, so, yeah, some nagging her injuries. I hope she gets well soon, but...
So, I hope that's the legitimate story that's put out there.
There was, an unsubstantiated rumor you told me about, Rock. Go ahead.
There's a rumor, and again, rumor.
Unsubstantiated. There is no source to back this up.
But with the week it's been, you gotta sort of pay attention. That Sasha was going to be suspended coming very soon. To back up that point, she's been removed for the next 33 days from shows.
But that's the whole source of that rumor in the first place.
Yes.
Like, you know, you can't cite that as your source, as because it's just speculation, and then you can't use it again to make proof out of the rumor because it's the exact same speculation.
Exactly. But it's out there.
You can't say something and then look for the evidence to back it up. You got to find the evidence and then say it.
Just want to throw the rumor out there before it becomes a thing. Tomorrow we're all like, God damn it, we should have believed the rumor. Anyway.
Or, see, told you.
That's right. And we're going to get into the other suspensions here in a minute. But the other move that almost killed her was the razor's edge into the Hurricanrana, and she just sort of landed on her head.
It just, like, I'm watching it, and I'm like, that didn't look right. And typed to Rock on Skype. Did she just, like, bang her top of her head on the mat?
Uh-huh. And then they showed the rope replay in slow-mo, and it was like, yeah.
The replay at normal speed, it just looked like she, you know, her hair brushed the mat. But when they showed it in slow-mo from that other angle, then you could see it. And yeah, her head snapped back because it hit.
And you know what's interesting? This is where the match actually sort of slowed down and got good. From her being dropped on her head, it actually got better.
And it's like, oh shit, maybe we better just like catch our breath and like do this right.
The thing was, like, she hit her head on the way down. That's still a good spot, though.
Oh, it's a great spot. They did it. It was done fantastically, but it was like, don't kill yourself. I know.
Or your opponent.
Or your opponent. Like, that was a great, great spot they did. Another one was the Boston Crab on the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
The double knees to the outside.
Yep.
It felt like it took a while for them to actually find their rhythm, which is weird considering how many matches they've had.
Well, it wasn't finding the rhythm so much as finding their groove. There's a little bit of a difference there. Like Rock said, it just felt like they were rushing, trying to get these spots in too quickly. They weren't setting up properly.
You know, Tim, just to point out, I'm pretty sure finding rhythm and finding groove is the same thing.
Not completely.
Grooving to the music, rhythm to the music is the same fucking thing.
No, because it's different dance. It's like different movements.
False finishes from the natural selection, the bank statement, yada, yada, yada. Bank statement on Charlotte. Charlotte counters in a roll-up. 1, 2, 3. Charlotte is the new WWE Women's Champion for the second time.
And I changed my mind and went with Sasha. Fucking rage.
Gee, Mike, you're just batting 1,000, ain't you?
No, because... All right. I would have had a perfect had I not chosen Sasha.
You would have had a perfect night had you not chosen the guys and gals who eventually lost.
I don't know what perfect night you're talking about, Mike.
SummerSlam.
I know.
All the picks that I did. Accurate.
Did you write down your picks?
Yeah, they're on Facebook.
I'm looking at the sheet. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are we positive?
Yes.
Okay.
Not Roman Reigns positive, but yes.
Because I count 1, 2, 3.
Alpha Hype, which is Alpha Hype Bros, yada, yada, yada. Sami Zayn, Neville, and the balls.
No, just one.
Just one ball.
No, just one ball. Okay, Y2K, oh crap, Cesaro. Okay, next.
Okay, he basically exceeded your point. He conceded your point.
He conceded my point?
Yep.
Tim. Fix your stuff.
I'm nice though.
I said, Tim, fix your stuff. Alright. Cause you're
stuffified.
Yeah. Now we can hear you cause you were all static.
Oh, decaffeinated.
Okay. Anyway. Can I continue now? Is everyone clear that they weren't so perfect?
Yeah, hurry the hell up. He's got it.
Okay.
Mike isn't perfect.
Only one person here can have a perfect week. And if it wasn't for someone named Brock Lesnar, we had a perfect week.
Well, you should have known better.
Okay. So we talked about it. The match was good. It wasn't great. Cause, well, the beginning sort of hurt it a little bit and hurt each other.
Yeah. After the head drop, it got really good.
And you can see why they put focus on these two women in Vision. you hope Sasha can, you know Vince McMahon, and you know his mind frame of injury prone. Hopefully Sasha doesn't get that label in Vince's mind, because there's talent and specialness there with her.
Everything, I keep saying it, everything they wanted and hoped that Eva Marie could have been, Sasha already is.
Yes.
She's got personality, she's gorgeous, and she is amazing in that ring. They would be fools not to utilize all of that. But I mean, we do have guys who have been on the roster who have been labeled injury prone. Like, for a long time, Randy was marked injury prone. You know, and he's still injury prone.
Garbage bag time.
Yeah. But he main evented tonight.
And got injured.
Well, he was against Brock Lesnar.
Okay. That's a non-starter then, I admit.
So now before we move on to Miz and Apollo Crews, because there really isn't much to say about Miz and Apollo Crews, I want to ask you guys, because this is going to be a weird thing because we have a lot of pay-per-views coming up, but really can't talk about news, so let's talk about some news. Omega, Paige and Del Rio got suspended.
Apparently they decided, hey, they put us on separate brands, so let's just do the same line of coke off a hooker's ass and just take a 30-day break. And Eva Marie said, I'll volunteer.
Thank you, Omega.
You set him up for that.
Yep. Because he told me the joke 4 days ago.
I smell it set up.
But now, legitimate thoughts on the suspension of Paige, Del Rio, and Eva Marie, guys.
Legitimate thinking. First off, does it really matter in professional wrestling, wellness policy violation? It really depends on what exactly you've taken, I think, as to whether or not it should actually, come into play. We've already gone through this whole, alleged roid rage bullshit back in 2007. We're not going to rehash that. Other than to say, well, it was already, disproven that steroids were the main cause of somebody's anger, and it's just anger issues or anger issues.
It's all been redacted.
It was never about that incident. The wellness policy was always about Eddie Guerrero. It was his death that kicked it off because he was on a lot of things. They could have been doing something to help prevent.
Yeah.
And even though he got himself clean, it wasn't in time to prevent permanent damage.
Yeah, no, that's exactly correct. Now, like I'm saying, if you're doing hardcore narcotics just to get stoned, if you're addicted to OxyContin because, you're taking, it's a painkiller that is extremely addictive and it works really well. The problem is it's, extremely addictive. If you are taking something like that, all right, if you're smoking dope and they catch THC in your system, do you need to be suspended for that? Wouldn't a fine just be as good? It's scheduled. It's a classified as a, or what is it? A class one narcotic.
I'm pretty sure they did change the wellness policy so that a marijuana offense was punished with a fine rather than a suspension.
$2,500 fine.
Because marijuana is not a class one narcotic and should not be listed as a class one narcotic.
No. I think that particular offense is why Evan Bourne doesn't work in the WWE anymore.
Many reasons.
He got caught a lot.
More than once.
Uh-huh.
He was starting to, his paycheck was
challenging RVD record right there.
Yeah.
But again, if you're doing something that is really damaging, I mean, like Eddie, God rest his soul, he had huge problems. He was taking prescription painkillers, but he was also mixing it with other hardcore drugs. Situation like that, had the wellness policy been there then? Yes, absolutely. Do you guys agree with Roman Reigns having got suspended for taking what boils down to ADHD drugs?
It's used as an ADHD medication most commonly, but it is because it is something that athletes do use as a performance enhancer because it's mind focusing.
Now, here's my question. Does using a performance enhancer really matter in professional wrestling as opposed to any other sport, including Olympics?
This is why the whole point is it's a wellness policy and not, you know, a drug test policy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not about being, you know, in any professional, any competitive sport, it's about fairness. In this, it is about making sure nobody has a heart attack at 40.
Having a heart attack at 40 would suck. Ask Jerry Lawler. He was like 55.
He didn't have one at 40.
No, he was older.
So, I'm trying to find the quote, because Seth Rollins was on ESPN First Take on Friday. He said, WWE cares about the performers, he said, adding that the company wants to keep everyone healthy and has no problem being a part of it. It's fantastic for us regarding the wellness policy, and it's like, we're not out to pop people for PEDs, we're trying to keep them healthy, and that's the company stance, basically. Which is the right way to do it. We should note, Eva Marie says she had a doctor's note that she forgot to get in.
didn't I say that?
And like, that's why I sent you that link.
The day before she had her statement, she gonna have a doctor's note? Oh, she will. Watch.
Oh, a day later? There you go.
Brandon's mother. Only people who are walking back Carter will get that one.
So she forgot to get it in time, and she will take her suspension after her husband went on Twitter and started ranting.
Oh, he was told to shut the fuck up ASAP, too.
Yep, and that was a smart thing. Oh, by the way, Miz retained the Intercontinental title.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Very.
This was the match I was talking about, Apollo Crews almost losing his teeth on the top of that ring post.
Very, very proud and, you know, very proud and very strong champion, then later wrestled in a chicken suit for a KFC commercial.
And we'll get to the other half later. Yeah. That other half.
Dumbest thing I've seen.
That other half. So you want to talk a bit more about that ring post yet, Tim? Or you got your point in?
Well, Apollo Crews, he basically flew into the corner to splash Miz. Miz gets out of the way, and sure enough, Crews goes straight forward because the ring post wasn't sticking up like, you know, it does. He didn't move his head to the side. Instead, he whiplashed straight forward right on top of the post, and you could tell. You could tell that he cracked his face, and it looked for a second like he might have knocked a couple of chicklets loose. Omega, you saw that?
Actually, I didn't.
Ooh, well, it's coming up in the middle of near the end of the match. Mike, did you catch it?
Mike's still in the bathroom.
Wow, he's still gone.
At the brick kayfabe.
Oh, there you go. Oops.
To reveal what's happening backstage. Oh, AKA in the Skype chat.
I misread Skype check. I thought Rock went to the bathroom. So, to the facilities, as it were.
No, Rock is trying to catch the line missed, or can't remember, rather.
Oh, that one. Did you catch it?
No, they're still talking, so keep talking for a minute. Like I said, talk for a minute.
Just interrupt as soon as you saw it. But anyway, yeah, no, he cracked the right side of his face, right behind where, I guess, your eye tooth would be. Your bicuspid, I think the dental term is. And it looked like he was legitimately in a little bit of pain after that. And that was like right before Miz gets the pin for the win. So I don't like those ring posts, Omega.
I can tell.
I sound a little bit about it, don't I?
Kinda. Though, honestly, for me, it was like, it's holding the ropes. I'm fine.
Oh well. What can you do? I'm still just waiting for Rock to come back after catching the line. I mean, he's really a diligent producer, don't you find?
Oh yeah.
Sometimes he goes overboard though.
Little boy, Nate, it's my man. Of course. We wanted to say, there's no reason for all the tension that we've been feeling in this area. And that's because...
I didn't start.
That's because we wield the power that cannot be abused, my friends. And that is the power of positivity.
That's that P.O.P. holding it down.
That's so?
It is so.
Okay. Nice. Hey, John, look, we wanted to ask you a favor, man. You mind if we borrow you for a minute?
Anything. I would be happy to be borrowed for a minute.
I would love to stay in chat.
Power positivity. What are you going to do?
Good luck. Goodios, get some.
Bye, John.
Good. These things are good. Delicious. Positivity.
I am misunderstood.
Many layers to you. You don't want that tap dancing thing.
True to form.
Nice job.
Let's go.
Well, that's gonna be. That was a true to form. Nice job. That was the shot.
It was more. See, what made that shot was the look on his face.
Yep. It's like you could tell a little bit of insider shoot on that one.
Yeah, there was.
Big brother, little sister rivalry.
Anyway, so got that out. Now it's time for what was probably match of the night, John Cena and AJ Styles.
Whoa. Did you say probably?
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys something collectively. How many times in the last, let's say, 5 years have we considered a John Cena match of the night at a pay-per-view?
It's not often.
Actually, there was probably four times last year.
Now, that was four times last year. I'm talking overall. Let's admit it now, collectively, we were kind of sort of like, oh, I'm so over John Cena. I don't want to see him wrestle anymore. Boo. Yeah, Superman.
Well, yeah, we're used to, we can be fair and say Cena has been trying different things and has been trying to shake up his usual repertoire.
Yep.
To some success, some failure. Hello, Springboard Stunner.
Yeah. Glad I haven't seen that lately.
Yeah, Springboard Stunner, I don't think he got all of that. You know, as opposed to Tim, NXT TakeOver, go watch Ember Moon's finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a corkscrew stunner from the top rope.
Moist. Oh,
she gets all of it.
Oh, God.
Moist.
Keep your moist away from me. You've had a day to dry up.
She didn't get trained by John Cena then.
No.
Well, I love it because that is her original finisher, and I'm actually glad that they let her keep it. They were like, no harm, no foul.
I'm not sure the WWE 2K17 physics engine can render that move.
Well, we'll see.
Anyway, just to catch Mike up, we're talking a John Cena AJ Styles match, and my question that I put forth to everybody was, how often have we considered a John Cena match since 2012? Or even 2010, how long, a match of the night contender.
Yeah.
For Cena match.
Like, I was gonna continue with, you know, he has been changing up things lately, you know, in the last year or two especially, but we are still trained in that mindset of, okay, shoulder block, duck a punch, proto bomb, five knuckle shuffle. Which I still amaze he gets away with a masturbation term on PG television.
Yeah, no kid. Well, you know, it's, you know.
But, and we did see that sequence tonight, but Cena has been trying. But I think we're still kind of used to what he does in the ring, and it's so formulated that we're just kind of, it's hard to give it match of the night when you feel like you've seen it all a lot of times already.
Yeah, it got to the point where you could actually say, okay, this is what's coming up, and then 3 seconds later it would happen. This is next, and then that would happen. But tonight, yeah, sure. Give credit up the yang to AJ Styles for making Cena look great. But here's the thing. John Cena reminds me of Triple H. When he's got a great opponent, he works a great match. Triple H can't carry a weaker opponent, in my opinion. Some people will disagree with me, but for those people, I say whatever. John Cena cannot definitely carry a weaker opponent. But when you get John Cena in a ring with somebody who's as good as somebody like AJ Styles, look back to when Kurt Angle was still in WWE and he and John Cena were going back and forth. They were having off the hook matches too. Like I said, you got to give AJ Styles credit for making John Cena look good, but you gotta give John Cena credit for hanging with AJ in this match.
So we had a torture rack into a spin out powerbomb by AJ Styles. We had a slingshot by Cena, who then lifted AJ Styles up in the air into what I guess was a shoulder breaker or a cutter or something?
The shoulder thing.
Like they said a cutter on TV, but it wasn't a cutter.
Was not a cutter.
No, it was like, wait, that is, and it wasn't a stunner because he didn't hit him on the neck, and we know that he can't do a stunner, so I guess it was a shoulder breaker.
It was a like, swinging big ending.
We'll go with that. Whatever the move AJ Styles does where he, you know, flips him over and drops him on a knee, which they called a version of the AA.
I hated that.
I rolled my eyes.
The like, fuck?
It was not an AA. It was nowhere close to an AA.
The announcers were getting on my tits all night.
And it was Ronaldo who called it that too. I was like,
yeah,
no.
That, you're better than that, man.
Ronaldo is 100. I don't know what happened.
God.
He had it. It's hanging out with Michael Cole before the pay-per-view too much.
Different
rooms.
God, it doesn't help having Otunga at the end of the announce table either.
He still has a job.
I don't know how.
Because he could scream like you just did.
Everybody has come and gone, but he still has a job.
Bring back Adam Lee. I said it on Twitter. Otunga is like a white noise machine because he makes sounds, but they don't have meaning and they have no excitement to them. He just screams every now and then.
We had a Canadian destroyer for a two count. We had an STF then into a crossface. Cena powered out into a calf crusher. That was a nice sequence of moves.
Yes.
We had the springboard Frankensteiner. The phenomenal forearm. A super AA. An attempted AA. Not happening. Styles clash. Phenomenal forearm. 1, 2, 3. AJ Styles with the win.
Clean, mind you.
I am honestly shocked.
When was the last time John Cena got beaten clean?
No. John's been winning better.
Yeah. He's been putting the newer talent over on a regular basis.
Well, okay, let me rephrase that. When was the last time that you actually seen John Cena win in that type of manner, meaning to the point of a good finish, like solid, no notion duckery, no miscarriage of justice, nothing?
Kevin, 2 years ago?
No, 1 year ago. Kevin Owens.
That too.
Yep.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
your mind.
The replay just caught Charlotte's murder attempt.
Uh-huh.
In slow-mo.
I didn't see a slow-mo. That just... Oh.
Wait till it's slow-mo. It should be coming up almost any second now. I want your reaction.
Okay, so I now know what the move was. It was supposed to be a sidewalk slam off the top rope.
Jesus.
Because I'm on a 10-second delay from where Omega was at. So I saw the move coming. She had her in position for like a sidewalk slam. Mm-hmm. And she just slipped.
A sidewalk slam or almost like... I don't know if she was trying for like a falling world's strongest slam.
No, she had her... Either they're going to come down as a backbreaker or a sidewalk slam.
Oh, and then there's the Busta Gory special.
Mm-hmm. But no, it's either a... It was either a sidewalk slam or a backbreaker coming off that rope.
Oh,
and dropped her. Talk
about the first botch?
Yeah.
Okay, the first botch, not the
Yeah, the first botch, followed by the second botch. The third botch is yet to come.
Yeah, third botch is yet to come. Yeah, I just got to the gory special. The not-so-special gory.
Botch him.
The
gory average.
The gory average. But no, it's like it was a sidewalk slam. That's what it looked like. Because she had her in that position. And her feet came out from underneath her, and she just... That could have been really bad, watching it again. Anyway, back to John Cena.
Get in the chat room. Charlotte was almost in for second degree. Twice tonight. Well, 2.5.
And then John Cena got a standing O from the crowd.
Which is weird. Hustle, loyalty, respect, he left his little... sweatband in the center of the ring.
He did.
And that, you know, symbolic of him not going to be around for a while because...
Symbolic of him having a TV show to shoot.
AJ won, but AJ won. He's shooting his TV show. Just totally, like you take the wind out of my sails. Totally.
That's what I'm here for. But no, well, Mike does have a point, though. Like, it's... Mm-hmm. Like, seeing Cena lose, it wasn't that Cena lost, it's that he lost decisively.
Yeah.
Like, AJ, you know, you know, it wasn't just like, well, the club didn't come in and help AJ, or, you know, or he hit a low blow or something like that. He didn't even sneak a win in or just get like a quick roll up. You know, he hit him with everything.
The last time I can honestly think of something like that was when he faced Del Rio.
What, when Del Rio first came back to win?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's one I can think of. And I know that that was like, what, about a good 6 months to about a year ago?
October.
He was back in October.
Okay.
Before, then, you know, Kevin Owens.
So it was before Kevin Owens?
It was after Kevin Owens.
I was going to say it was after.
Because the Owens run was during the U.S. title run, and that Owens never got the U.S. title.
No, the match that Owens went over so cleanly on was if he wins the match, then he gets a title shot.
Correct.
Yeah, and he won the match.
The one he won so clean was like, that was when he was still NXT champion. He goes, I don't need your belt, I have this belt. I'm just going to beat you just for the sake of beating you.
That's right.
Money in the Bank?
Chamber.
Elimination Chamber, that's right.
Yep.
The forgotten Elimination Chamber, because the Elimination Chamber matches on that show sucked.
That wasn't great.
That ride back in that chamber, that was awful.
Anybody else miss him?
No.
I shouldn't say the word else. Just anybody.
I miss his trolling. I miss his trolling. I certainly don't miss his matches.
So, you want to talk about his trolling? He put out a video with an action figure of him holding up CM Punk and then dropping him. And on that, Tim, take us to break.
Yeah, everybody, you're listening to the SummerSlam Reaction Show right here on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We're going to finish off the pay-per-view, do a few more things, and then send you off to bed. Don't forget, on the other side of this break, as per Omega's request, we're going to cut into this attempted app further to see if it turned out. We'll be back.
Suspense is killing me.
With the promise strength, ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you can be next. You better give respect. Cause ain't nobody breaking this redneck. No, they don't want none.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE. Seth Rollins,
this is Kane from WWE.
The future is now when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something.
Techno gang bang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It just gets weirder and weirder.
Gundam style!
Oh,
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's a horseshoe, that's a horseshoe.
Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I'm wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. And you guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, Jesus!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Oh, my love, the light is going down, and the week is here. Save my soul. I can feel the coming troubles in the air.
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us for the SummerSlam show. Don't forget, we are also on iTunes. Download the free iTunes app to your mobile device. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen to us wherever the hell you may be, because that would make us happy.
I didn't know iTunes had its own device, but okay.
Okay, not iTunes. Tune in.
We're also available on iTunes to search us for us. Search Wild Talk Radio Network in the iTunes store. But
yeah, that too. But yeah, I was yeah. Okay.
That was to answer Mike's question. That was one of the official SummerSlam theme songs of the evening. That was the one by I think that was Flo Rida maybe. Who's with me was the one. Who's with me? by Flo Rida was the song we came back to.
There you go.
So there you go. So let's get back into the show, shall we?
Yeah, but before we get back into the show, we've got to get rid of the suspense and let Omega know how it turned out, because he's like just dying to know.
I know he's dying to know, but shouldn't we like make it hold him out a little bit longer?
No, because I want to taste this damn thing.
You want to taste? that's mainly why you want to taste it.
Yeah, I want to eat it. So, the outside coating Omega, beautiful golden brown, fried. The glazing on it is good. Yeah, I need to make it thicker though. It's a little too thin, but it's still on there perfectly. I've just sliced into it. The apples look good with the cinnamon all around. I need more apples spread out more around this thing, and it's really nice and tender and soft.
I appreciate the visual image.
I'm ready to go. You gotta use some quiet this one. That's nice. Go ahead. Do the show, guys.
This is why I was hoping it was terrible, because now we're just listening to him masticate on the air.
Oh, one thing we forgot to mention on the show, because I forgot to put it in my notes, because it came up on my TV right now.
What's that?
The tease heard round the world.
Oh?
The Bullet Club.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Styles and the club.
That was sweet.
And then Finn Balor walked up.
Fuck, I missed him.
Yep.
And then Finn Balor looked at him and walked away.
He smiled first.
He did smile first.
I gotta make more of these.
Do you have a specific recipe for these things, Tim?
I will after tonight, because I just, for shits and giggles, I was gonna make one of my apple pizzas that's in the cookbook from the Man Kitchen that you can actually buy for only $10 in PDF format and have it actually emailed to you.
So, anyway, moving on now. Ryan, where can I get that, by the way?
All you got to do is email admin@mankitchentv.com to get your copy.
There you go. So John Stewart is back in front of the crowd.
For some reason.
Talked about last year's SummerSlam and, you know, some costing John Cena. He was so glad someone didn't come in and cost him this time around.
The very least, they lampshaded that.
It did. And he reminded us, if you're in position to take an AA, tuck your shirt.
Nobody wants to see old man belly.
Hashtag old man belly.
Everybody quit looking at me right now.
This is the man eating a dessert on the air.
Well, that's good.
Hashtag old man belly. So then he was recruited to be the third member of the New Day and did the Big E intro, kind of. The crowd mainly did it, which was amazing. They got it word for word. He was sort of trying to keep up with them. And it brought us to the tag title match. New Day defends against Dr. Anderson and Dr. Gallows. Doc Gallows. That has a nice ring to it. Never heard that before.
It'll never fly.
Never get over.
Maybe they just call him... No, maybe if they just called him Doc, but no.
No.
Other than that, no.
No. Anyway, so what do you think of this match, Omega?
I will admit this is about when dinner showed up, so not the closest I paid attention to it, but
the highlight of the match. Let me give you the highlight of the match.
Please.
When Kofi did a dive and posed in the air.
He did a mid-air pose for those with the benefit of digital photography.
for the benefit of those who can frame by frame this shit.
Thank you all the people who do the GIFs.
I don't know how to make GIFs.
Do you know how to make GIFs?
No, I know how to make GIF. It's peanut butter. I don't know how to make a GIF.
Wait, you know how to make peanut butter? We need to talk later.
Oh, God.
From the Omega Kitchen coming to bookstores.
I'm not going to waste time on the air talking about my glaze.
You ass.
This man has a million...
He has nowhere to go.
No, I got something. This man right there, the one who just talked, has a video on YouTube with a million views. Quality.
I do.
Quality.
I don't know how, but I do.
Every time you watch it, then it counts as a view.
I don't care. I have a video with a 7-digit view count.
So, Magic Killer time. John Stewart got in the ring. That's where all things sort of did not go so well.
Kind of haywire.
Shirt tucked in.
Woods got in the ring, got spine mustered. Stewart's like, all right, give me a moment. Let me tuck my shirt.
Yeah.
And he slowly tucked his shirt. Then he was down on the ground, and then he was about to lose his balls. Until Big E showed
then
up.
Then Neville came out.
Then Big E showed up. Ran wild, causes disqualification. Gallows and Anderson win. New Day retain. Yeah. Then he drank the liquid from one of the containers.
Yeah, it was
Why? Yellow. Why'd you do that?
He didn't drink it. He just took a mouthful and he spit it out just like Triple H.
Okay. So there you go. Gallows and Anderson win the match. Feud must continue to Clash of Champions. Probably. Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
Mike, you have anything to add to this match? Okay. Moving on to probably what was the worst match of the night. In my opinion. WWE Championship, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler.
It was not a great match. I was expecting more from these guys, and...
They under-delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Almost like they were holding back for another match.
Please don't.
See, a friend of mine sent me this on Facebook, and he said, Dean is extremely lazy and generally looks disinterested in wrestling. Furthermore, he's extremely predictable. I can call his entire match without fault because he sticks to the same formula. The best thing about Ambrose is how protected his finisher has been since Roadblock.
So that was about Dolph? Dolph being predictable?
No, it was Dean.
Dean being predictable.
Mm-hmm.
But he's crazy.
But he's crazy.
I'm not sure how he's crazy.
I think what he's saying is that Dean is starting to have his own five moves of doom.
Everyone has their own five moves of doom.
Yeah.
Okay, well...
Like, you go back and watch, there's like a year's worth of RVD matches where he's got so many signature moves the writers want him to use that every match looks like the same match.
Okay, well, pretty much. It's up to that point. I guess it's from a wrestler and probably from a booker standpoint. When you know when they're about to bring it home, that's bad.
This match itself was just bad.
Well, that... okay, yeah.
That whole argument right there. This was not any good.
These guys are just not in sync with each other the entire match.
This match could have been, when going in, I thought this match could go either two ways. Really, really good or really, really bad.
Yeah. And it went really, really bad.
It went really, really bad. And they should not do another one.
I think it was because that they weren't the main event.
No, it has nothing to do with it.
No, it's not that. Because Dolph is trying to steal the show.
And
he has been stealing the show since... Never mind.
Maybe he has, and all he means is he's pirating the network.
Unless his name is Colonel Sanders.
We'll get there. We're going to get there.
Oh, God.
But
just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
You look at it, and like, Dean is... a good wrestler, and we've seen him have great matches. What was the last good Dolph Ziggler match we've seen?
Oh.
Cena versus Ziggler.
Let's hop into the Wayback Machine for this one.
Seriously. Cena versus Ziggler Money in the Bank ladder match with a briefcase on the line.
The thing is...
Hold on. What match are you talking about?
Wait, holy fuck. There was a match where it was John Cena versus... Was it Dolph Ziggler with... Was it Dolph's Money in the Bank briefcase on the line?
Wait, what? No, why would Dolph put his contract up against Cena?
You're asking questions. Give me a second. Let me make sure if I can remember it. Hang on.
Yeah,
you're not remembering a storyline from one of the games, right?
WWE 2K16. Go check out the Sims, YouTube.com/Rock Radio Show.
You whore!
Just start getting paid money for this.
TLC 2012, John Cena versus Dolph Ziggler for Ziggler's Money in the Bank briefcase.
Okay, TLC, you could... Okay, because now that makes more sense when you actually name pay-per-views, not just say Money in the Bank.
Sorry.
Okay, that makes more sense. I remember that match now. AJ Lee was involved. she shoved Cena off the ladder.
And, like, Dolph doesn't supersell anymore. Like, when that's how you know when he's not having a good time in the ring, when he doesn't supersell.
I think it's visible in his performances now that he's just fed up with his position. Because for a long time, he was the hottest thing on the roster. For a long time, he was the one that audiences kept popping for. You know, they wanted him to win the belt. They wanted him to be in the main event.
Hey, we all popped for him when he was pushed.
Yeah. Like, night after WrestleMania, cash in that Money in the Bank, and it's the loudest explosion you've heard on a Raw. You know, it's probably one of the biggest pops on Raw you've ever heard. And, you know, I think we said it then. It was too late. You know, like, the crowd was still hot for it, but not nearly as hot as it was. And then they still, like, okay, injury cut it short, but it's not like they gave him a chance afterwards. Just put the belt right back, put the belt on Del Rio, and the guy who injured him in the first place, good job.
Best heel turn ever, by the way.
But you bring up a point. We've seen the moment. He's had his moment. So going into this match, and he's talking about, I need this moment, I need to have my moment. He had it. And I think that's why no one really
believed. I don't think it's so much that he had his moment. I think it's that he saw what he was capable of, what the crowd was willing to support him for, and nothing came of it. Like, he had all the momentum and heat in the world you could possibly have as a pro wrestler, and they still didn't do anything with him. I think at this point he's just fed up. Because even when he was earning everything, you know, even when he was earning all of that, even when he had that much adulation from the crowd, they still wouldn't use him. And they're not using him now. Like, how would you feel if, like, it's like you're the most popular, you know, a few years ago, you're the most popular thing. Now, you got 10 minutes out there to, and you don't even get to win.
But he was but they're using him, because of the brand extension. This was the top SmackDown match. And,
he was in the middle of the card.
But he failed to deliver, though. It shouldn't matter where you're on the card. You should actually get the crowd behind you, and he didn't.
I just don't think he cares anymore.
He's going through the motions.
He doesn't care. Doesn't care.
And on SmackDown Live, Tuesday night, we're going to see Dolph Ziggler turn heel. And we're going to get a rematch of this at Backlash, most likely. Is that the right booking decision?
Only if it's not a bad match.
But as a booker, you already saw this match happen, Tim. Would you do it again?
Well, it's not just a case of we've already seen this as a, and so I don't think we're going to do it again. It's just you've got this thing that you've got written out, and you're trying to get to a certain point at the end of whatever the storyline might be. And you've got to stick with it. And one thing you can't do is change your mind halfway through. You wind up hot-shotting everything. WCW got into trouble with that. WWE was doing that like crazy at one point after 2006. Well, after 2005, with Monday Night Raw, they would hot-shot at the last minute, and it kills a flow. And sure, okay, fine. Maybe it wasn't a great match tonight. That's not to say that it's not going to be a great match at Backlash, right? Maybe it'll be 100 times better. You've got to stick with the program. If you decide to speed up the program and get it over with because it's not working, all right, tonight didn't work. So Tuesday, let's reboot and finish it off. Why not? Because what else have you got ready to go? Nothing.
Better question, is turning Dolph Ziggler heel the right move?
At this point, I think it is. Like, if we're dealing with a Dolph Ziggler that's just not happy with what he's doing, we know for a fact he's happier as a heel. He likes playing the bad guy, and he hasn't got to do it for a long time.
I would have turned Dolph Ziggler's heel leading in, or
heel. What?
Heel. All right. I would have given him zeal, and it would have been a good...
The fritter gave him a stroke!
Yeah, I would have, it was the apple. I would have turned Dolph Ziggler heel leading into this match ahead of time. Not wait until after the match. There was speculation and talk like crazy before WrestleMania. Oh, they're going to turn Dean Ambrose heel. And I'm like, that's really fucking stupid. You can't do that. You turn him heel, and it's like turning Steve Austin absolute heel. It didn't work then with Austin. It's not going to work now with Ambrose. So what do? You find an opponent who's whining, bitching, moaning, and crying about he deserves his shot. He's that damn good. He steals the show, yet he doesn't get the respect he deserves. Oh, hey, wait a minute. There's Ziggler. What are you doing? Nothing? Come over here. Let's talk.
Dolph Ziggler is also trying to be Shawn Michaels.
Very, very hard.
A little too hard. Drop to Shawn Michaels bullshit and get back to your thing.
He finished off Chicken Miz with a bona fide sweet chin music.
Yep.
Yeah, let's talk about that. What the hell?
That was the worst goddamn thing. Yeah, people are like, what are they talking about? It was the basically the live, air quotes, live commercial for the KFC Chicken Little sandwich.
Well, they taped it at SmackDown, but yes.
Yeah, but they made it look like it was live on SummerSlam, but it was taped at SmackDown. And who was dressed up as Colonel Sanders? Dolph Ziggler. Who was dressed up as the greasy sandwich, chicken sandwich, chicken?
Take our champion seriously.
Kind of reminiscent of what Rock said to me after I said that was the worst thing going. Of course, from a marketing standpoint, brilliant. But it was the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen.
I fucking hate any of their commercial bullshit things they do, because they're so forced and unfunny.
And not good?
They're horrible.
They are.
They're fucking horrible.
Well, you know, the one exception to that I got a kick out of. And it was Enzo and Cass doing the backroom stuff with the fast food. I can't remember what it was.
Probably Sonic.
Sonic advertised with them a lot.
And I got a chuckle because, of course, we got Enzo going, what do you got here? And then, of course, he's going through, oh, I got this burger and some French. Oh, I got a couple of taters. But they gave me a chuckle. That was good. Didn't make me want to go out and get any, but it was still good. But that was the exception. Absolute exception.
God, There is one I'm trying to remember, and it's just, and Google will not fucking let me search for it because it keeps trying to take WWE out of the search, even when I tell it to leave it in.
Damn Google. I hate it when Google gets a mind of its own.
I remember there was one, I think a couple of years back, that was just pure psychosis. I can't remember it. I'm kind of happy for that.
All right.
All right then. So.
Where were we?
Oh yeah, Dean Ambrose.
Colonel Dolph Sanders versus a big cock.
Oh god.
Shut up. Next.
Dean Ambrose retained the belt.
Eh.
Just so people are aware, Dean Ambrose retained the belt. So, up next was my favorite moment of the night. Naomi, Carmella, Becky Lynch versus Natalya, Alexa Bliss, and Eva Marie. The Eva Marie intro, it was amazing. She's stressed out. She's going on vacation. She suffers from anxiety.
She'll be gone to the Riviera for 30 days.
Injected anxiety.
Mm-hmm. That was the best thing ever.
No, you know what scared me? You know what scared me when they told me that Eva Marie got popped?
Mm.
I'm like, the first thing in my head was, is this what she's like when she's on performance enhancers?
So anyway, so Eva can't compete. It's the return of Nikki Bella.
Yeah, I was surprised. But then again, I didn't listen to The Rack on Thursday night with Lindsay Ward.
You should always listen to that show because we break scoops.
Well, there goes my plans to eat ice cream with it. You broke the scoop.
Go back to your fritter.
Fritter, ring it away.
Hey, this match had Naomi's new entrance, so I was happy with it.
You like that crap?
That's fucking awesome.
Okay.
It's a better glow-in-the-dark entrance than Jeff Hardy ever had.
Well, all right, yeah, but half of his entrances were accidental anyway, the glow-in-the-dark ones.
I am waiting for that black light entrance to reveal some suspicious stains on the front row.
So this this matchup was better than the girl.
Well, how can you get away with making those jokes? But when I do, I get in trouble.
I was no selling it. I was just moving on.
Oh, Jesus.
That's all I was doing.
Staff meeting!
You told me to lead the ship. I'm trying to lead the ship.
Well, for good luck. Told you at the beginning.
I know.
This ship has run aground, Rock.
I know. This matchup was better than the WWE title match, and that is fucking scary.
This match harkens back to the days of the Divas titles. Title, singular, because there's only one.
Anytime you see a multi-diva match on pay-per-view, it's rare when we have exceptions. WrestleMania had a triple threat, which was an exception. But anytime you get one of these matches where it feels like the women are just kind of thrown together just for the sake of being on the show, there's no rhythm. Oh, I'm sorry, groove. There is no chemistry going on. It just feels like everyone's there just to do their thing for a couple minutes, just to waste time.
And the matchup was good until they actually did the whole wasting time bit where we're actually all gonna hit the moves. So,
yeah.
So yeah, thank you for distracting. So Nikki won with a TKO. Her new finish.
Yeah.
So the SmackDown heels win. Mike got points.
# too little too late.
And then we have the Universal Championship match.
The Legends Championship.
Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins.
That's an ugly title belt.
The crowd chanted, we want a new belt. Repeatedly. That's a first.
Hey, we want a new
belt. Here's the thing. I think when they announced the brand split, I advocated for a WWE Raw World Championship and a SmackDown World Championship that looked the same, except one was highlighted red and one was highlighted blue. That way they're both world champions. They both look like they're on equal footing.
Nice going.
Well, number one, I said highlighted. I didn't mean the whole damn strap would be red. And number two, if you name it that way, if you give them the same name and just change it from Raw to SmackDown, you would expect red and blue championship belts. That's not a big deal. When you go, it's the Universal Championship. It's the same fucking belt. We just made it red. That sets an expectation and sets you up for massive disappointment. So everyone's looking for something that matches the new name, and it's the same old thing.
Was Eva Marie the designer for this? All red everything? LOL. Well played, LeMans. Well played. I was very underwhelmed by the belt. I was expecting something, but you can tell they had no plan for this belt, and they came up with a name, and they said, here, write this at the bottom of our current belt.
Yeah, pretty much.
And do you have any red leather?
They got a call from Mattel, look, we're not going to change every action figure to have a new belt. Just same old one. We don't want to make a new mold. Yeah, it doesn't make the brand split look any better, because it already feels like they didn't quite think it out. This kind of highlights that.
Yeah, it does.
Makes it feel even more hastily decided upon.
But the match was pretty good.
The match itself was entertaining enough.
No, it's what I expect out of two guys who were both NXT champions.
Bloody Sunday, need I say more?
No, 1916.
And can we get this correct, people in WWE? He has two versions of the 1916.
Mm-hmm.
One's that's his actual finish, and one's is just a signature move. They try to sell this signature move as the finish early in the match. He's not that stupid to hit this his finisher early in the match for that.
Well, he did go for a coup de grace in the second move.
Okay.
That's not his finisher.
But that's his a quick finish. This was mid-match. It's just...
Okay, so it's stupid to hit a finish early unless it's within the first 30 seconds, then it's just a quick finish. And
yes.
It makes sense.
Yes, but if he he would actually hit his proper move and sell like a proper move. It was just a regular move, but they tried to sell like it was more than it was.
Right.
Yes, it was, Tim. Anyway, by the way, they blew their load on the Demon King early, especially doing it on Raw.
I still get it from a marketing standpoint. You still have to make sure that all those people who don't have a network, and we do know it's a large number. I said it before, like 1 million people get the network. 4 million people watch Raw. So you're talking at least 75% of those people who likely have not seen the Demon King entrance. You at least need to show them why this guy is a credible threat and what they are actually tuning into SummerSlam to see. And it is not just this skinny Irish guy.
And it's selling the pay-per-view at $49.95 or $59.95, whatever it is for the provider still carrying it on cable TV.
I disagree, but you could have teased the Demon. You didn't have to do the full entrance.
You know, if it was 5 years ago, I'd agree with you. I don't completely agree with you now.
To each his own, but the match was good.
Yeah, the match was good.
We got the moment of, here's a triangle choke. Finn goes to the ropes. There's no rope break. It's no DQ. Good to see they mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
May have been a key to bring that up at some point.
I have seen WWE screw that up, where it's a no DQ match and they still use rope breaks.
So, Phoenix Splash, no superplex, pedigree attempt, double stomp, then the drop kick to the corner, drop kick to the other corner. Coup de grace, winner, Finn Balor.
Like, one of these days I want the announcers to actually remember what a Phoenix Splash is. Because no one ever... He's doing this massive corkscrew flip in the air and nobody knows what to call it. Even though he made a point to call it that.
Yep.
But yeah, I love the finish where Finn just resorts to drop kicking the ever living shit out of Seth.
I will say this one of the more interesting moments, and it was just in the beginning of the match where they were brawling on the outside and he got tossed over the barricade, and how he just rose up from behind the barricade was just so awesome. It's like the Demon rises. It was great.
You know, for a while, I think we were talking about Bray Wyatt possibly being like the next Undertaker, like the next guy to carry that persona of fear.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Finn's doing such a better job at it.
Yep.
Like, when the Demon paint is on, you know someone is getting fucked up. It sets such an atmosphere.
It's what the Kane needs to be.
Finn Balor wrestling as Finn Balor is a treat, and it's great. But, well, maybe he'll lose the match. Finn Balor wrestling as the Demon. Well, shit, like you said, Omega, somebody's shit's getting plugged up.
Oh, yeah. This is like late run Biker Taker, and then suddenly seeing him come back as the Dead Man.
Yeah.
It's like, you know shit just got real.
Can we all agree we don't need to hear the phrase Demon King 30,000 times?
Right. Yeah. I also don't need his nickname being announced as his actual name before a match. That was really weird.
After the announcement?
Finn Balor, the Demon King!
That's playing 2K17.
Thanks, Vince. you were playing 17 or 16?
No, it's like... I think that it reminded me of what they're going to do for 17.
Oh,
I hope not.
Please. The entrance for 17 has a chainsaw in it for some reason.
Because from the
he did that once, but that's not the main entrance he does.
It's not the best one.
Like, I hope it's just a variant, because that's really annoying.
Oh, it probably is. Because I have a feeling he has multiple outfits and gets multiple entrances.
God, it's I get the feeling someone at 2K just really likes animating that entrance.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the current version, there's like three different entrances for him. Like the regular Finn, the Demon Finn, and there's like an alternate Demon Finn one. So, anyway. We'll see what happens there. So, Finn Balor is the first Universal Champion. No surprise?
Honestly, I kind of am.
I was surprised that they had that. I was positive that Rollins would do it. We'd have a little miniature program with Rollins and Balor. Surprised? Yeah, but I was happy.
Yeah, like, I'm satisfied with it. It makes me happy that they are kind of embracing new blood in the WWE. I really was surprised. Like, I thought with a new belt, you'd put it on an established star. Someone that has carried the championship a long time and people know as a championship contender. So to put it on someone who's, you know, and they mentioned it on the announce, this was his first match in the main roster.
No, it wasn't.
Okay, his first pay-per-view match on first, the main roster.
First pay-per-view match. He did earn the shot. He wrestled two matches in one night and got
okay.
the shot.
Yes, okay, slight goof in my head.
Oops.
Yeah, they mentioned it. It's like no one ever claimed a world championship in their first pay-per-view match.
See, I could have bought Seth Rollins winning, but once they announced the Demon King, going back to how you guys were talking about how the Demon King is becoming more Undertaker than Bray Wyatt was.
Yep.
If the Demon King lost in his first match, well, he'd be where Bray Wyatt is now.
Yeah.
And they've already got one failure there anyway.
So.
Sorry, Lindsay.
We then move on to what was supposed to be the United States Championship match, but it never took place. Rusev was mad. Rusev attacked Roman. Hit him with steps. Roman came back. Superman punch. He beat him up. Used a chair. Refs come out. Roman attacks more with chair. Match gets thrown out. Rusev too injured. Rusev gets up. Roman comes back out. Roman spears.
How do you get jumped and then still lose? Come on.
Forever. I'm not sure what to make of this.
It's called, we did this match on Monday Night Raw, and we're not going to do it again.
It's called, see, we would give you the title, but the way that you just got back.
No. It's called, with pay-per-views running along, you guys, sorry, just go out and beat each other up. No match. Just come on back in 5 minutes.
I don't think that's the case.
No. The pay-per-view didn't actually run over too far.
Only like 5 minutes. And they were scheduled to go until like 11:20 at one point. So.
It's still bizarre. Like, I know they just gave it away for free, so you can't do the same thing. There's part of me that's always annoyed at this is like, you know, Roman, if this is all you're gonna do with him, just do this backstage. Like, I know you got jumped, but if you were literally gonna get that pissed off just because he got in a sneak attack, beat the shit out of him backstage. You don't have to walk out to a ring and pretend like you're going to have a match to do it.
I agree.
There's a logic gap here that bugs me. And I know I'm trying to find logic in pro wrestling, and I kind of am. It's bizarre. Because part of me is like, you know, Rusev's trying to celebrate his wedding. This guy comes out, starts fucking around with him. You know, and, you know, his wife ends up in a big cake. He challenges, you know, he's challenges him on Raw simply because, you know, you disgrace my wife. So he's standing up for his wife. And then you get to this pay-per-view where he's still trying to do that and gets the ever-living fuck beaten out of him for it. There's honestly part of me that feels bad for Rusev in this storyline. And I shouldn't feel bad for the evil Russian Bulgarian. But I kinda do. Because this is very strangely booked.
Yeah, it really is strangely booked.
Making very little sense.
Which means tomorrow night on Raw, we get the match. Probably.
Maybe.
They'll book a rematch. Mm. They'll make you wait for another pay-per-view.
Oh, God.
That's okay. Tonight was the last night I had Rusev. I did not lose the point. I did not lose points because he lost the title. I call that a win. Hashtag perfect week.
No, I'm sorry. But an official match doesn't count.
That's to my point.
You only get 1 point for the appearance and that's it. Sorry. No.
No, that's my point. That's,
No.
You missed my point, Tim.
No.
You missed my point.
No, you're just really, really stretching shit out just so you can claim you had a perfect 29 hours now. No.
No, Tim. I didn't lose points. That's a win.
No.
That's a win.
No.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You didn't lose, but you didn't win.
I know. I didn't claim any other points. I took the 1 point. I didn't lose 10 points for losing the belt or lose 3 points for,
it's
you know.
It's a push because I got a point out of that one, too.
Okay. Hashtag perfect week still stands.
Hashtag bullshit.
Hashtag perfect week.
Bullshit.
Still stands.
Bullshit.
Until this main event. Brock Lesnar versus Randy Orton. I'm going to read you my notes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Brock slammed Orton on an announce table. frog slammed Ori through an announce table. 7. That was the beginning of my notes for this match. And then it went RKO on a table, Hangman DDT, RKO 2 count, punt, no, F5, 2 count. Gloves come off. We have some ground and pound. We have blood. We have a lot of blood.
Oh my god, we have a lot of blood.
Brock wouldn't stop. Ref stops match. Brock wins via TKO.
It's been a long time since I've heard any match end with a knockout of any kind.
This was terribly, tragically bad. The pay-per-view, you said originally, was scheduled to go 20 minutes past the hour.
Uh-huh.
So Randy Orton was legitimately hurt and really losing some real blood there. They cut the pay-per-view short because of it. Did Brock actually snap and legitimately, intentionally hurt Randy?
I don't think he intentionally hurt him, because as far as I know, there's no beef between the two. And Brock, we know, really only cares about his paycheck. And it, going out of his way to injure someone would probably ensure that he's not going to get more paychecks.
This is truth.
WWE.com has learned that Randy Orton has received 10 staples to close a laceration on the forehead following his brutal assault by Brock Lesnar that had resulted in a TKO at SummerSlam.
Well, that was that damn elbow that he sideswiped his forehead with.
Uh-huh.
That was Brock remembering he was in MMA.
I was just saying, I thought Brock Lesnar was easy to bleed. I mean, his ear was cut open very early in the match. Brock's, not Randy's.
Also, Brock didn't stop. Shane came out. F5 to Shane McMahon. That's how the show closed.
I do like any time Paul is forced to start screaming, Brock, stop.
But why did Brock have to stop?
Match was over.
Because he started attacking executives.
But it wasn't Brock's boss.
Paul still gets a paycheck, too.
Oh, I know, but Shane's SmackDown. Brock is Raw.
And lawyers are lawyers. And assault is assault.
And they're not...
There is some point where Paul is going to... I'm sorry to phrase it this way. There's some points where Paul is going to be the Jew and start thinking about his pocketbook and his lawyers coming up. God. And he's going to beg for that kind of stuff to stop.
And there's no way in hell that they're setting up at the very end of this for another cross-brand match between Brock and somebody on SmackDown.
Unless they do Brock Lesnar versus Shane McMahon.
Shane's crazy enough to do that.
Don't be surprised. That winds up being on, what's the next big one? Survivor Series?
Survivor Series comes out. The whole stage is made of plate glass.
It has to be thinner plate glass this time.
No, it doesn't. Brock throws harder.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe you might want it thicker then.
God, like, it's a really weird end to a match.
Yeah.
Like, it does come across like Orton got seriously fucked up. It wasn't intentional, and we kind of had to cut this short. Like, it came off really weird there at the end. At the same time, it's Brock, and like I said, it's SummerSlam, so
he's guy's gonna,
yeah. Guy made a paycheck because they wanted him to go kill somebody, and he damn near bled Orton out. That was a legitimate pool of blood that I have not seen in WWE in a long time.
I haven't seen that much blood come out of one person's head since Vince McMahon bladed himself and accidentally cut too deep when he was fighting The Undertaker.
Someone told me the last time he saw that much blood was Eddie. Cause Eddie had a few matches where he just gushed horribly. Yeah, what it was scary.
Yeah, it was.
When the Apex Predator is bleeding too much to continue a match and the guy who made ECW is screaming for the violence to stop,
yeah, there's
that Aaron. Does great things for Lesnar.
That really sells the character.
That's what you have to keep in mind when Paul is screaming for Brock to stop. Mm-hmm. Like, things have gotten too brutal for the ECW guy.
Oh god, how real.
Forgot the safe word.
Brock has no safe word.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Brock stops when the noise stops.
Here's the thing. This ending pissed off a lot of people. There were people in the chat room who were pissed off with what happened. You gotta remember, it wasn't intentional. It was, Randy was legitimately busted open hard way, and they had no choice. There's no way in hell. Yes, there's a lot of blood. When you bust open a capillary bleeds like crazy. But it's not so much the fact that he was bleeding, it's the position of it. His entire face was a crimson mask, and he was lying on his back, and there was a pool under his head.
Yeah,
there was no way they could have let that match continue.
Yeah, the second he started rolling, it was just a constant stream hitting the mat.
And I asked Rock during the match, did Randy Blayden accidentally go too deep? No, that's legit, because I've seen, I've worked with wrestlers who have actually gone too deep when they bladed themselves. And, you know, maybe Randy and Brock decided they're going to pay the fine and give the fans something good, but he fucked up. Nope. And the reason why Brock didn't stop was because he had to sell it as a beatdown. Just answering Matt in the chat room. Brock should have known, and he didn't stop. It's professional wrestling. It's sports entertainment. You've got to maintain the persona and the aura and the image, and you've got to sell that beatdown as, he intended to do it, and he wanted to fuck Randy up big time, and he wasn't going to stop. And I'll tell you right now, Shane coming out and getting F5, that was all improvised after the fact. There was no way that was planned.
I would say that's how it was supposed to go after the match, regardless.
I'm going to make that I'm doubtful about that.
I don't think that's an audible you call. Not with Brock Lesnar, not with Shane McMahon. This smelled of, you know, okay, F5, you know, like probably like second or third of the match, 1, 2, 3. No, Brock's not done. Brock does the Brock thing, and he just keeps up F5s and suplexes until Shane comes out and we get what we got there. I don't think F5ing him into a pool of blood was in the plans.
I don't think they had a choice, because a pool of blood was like 3/4 of the ring by then.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's too bad that SummerSlam wound up going out the way that it went out. God damn it, Randy, get a thicker skin.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, that's...
Yeah. Yeah, that's it, that's it, that's happening, that's doable.
That's totally doable. that's totally doable, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, so, so that was SummerSlam. Well, how would you grade it, Tim?
It was, to me, right up until the Cena AJ Styles match, I thought we were going to be in for a treat the entire night. Mm-hmm. And, in my opinion, except for Rollins Balor, it took a dive. It took a nosedive right after, Cena AJ. And it was just, it wasn't, you know, bad. It wasn't good.
Wasn't good.
It was not. It's definitely not going to be in the top 50 SummerSlam moments of all time.
Mike, how would you grade the show?
I would grade the show probably. I'd give it a 7 out of 10 because the title matches aren't what I expected them to be. And that just kind of disappointed me.
Omega?
This is a C show. You do have some good highlights in there. Rollins and Finn was good. Cena and AJ was great. But you had a lot of matches that were just okay. You had a women's championship match that was sloppy. You had a 3-on-3 women's match that never felt like it found its rhythm. Second part of the show just started falling apart. And then I had to watch Colonel Sanders as Dolph Ziggler fight The Miz as a chicken. I don't care if it's just a commercial. It was fucking stupid.
Yeah. Now, how many matches were on both the main card and the pre-show?
There were 12 technical matches. A total of 13 would have happened if Rusev and Roman happened.
So out of 13 with 12 actually happening, I found four of them to be really good. That's not enough for a pay-per-view, especially your second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Especially not a pay-per-view that went this long. Like, this pay-per-view did not need to be this long. Like, it's just exhausting by the time you get to what's supposed to be your main events. Especially when your match of the night, you know, and with the guys involved, you should have thought it might have been the match of the night. It's happening somewhere in the middle of the card.
So, there you go. Really quick, not in any particular order. Just going down as I wrote them down. Tim went 5-7, Mike went 9-3, Omega went 5-7, I went 8-4, Lindsay went 8-4, the 8-Ball went 3-9, 2K16 went 3-7, Subway and Rob went 6-6, Jobber went 9-3, King Kings went 8-4, Mike S, Cal both went 7-5, Aaron Frost went 6-4, Sheila went 5-5, Josh went 7-3, Chris Pierce went 7-5, and Amy, Jersey Girl, went 5-7.
So, normally, when people don't do that great at predicting for Pick'em, you expect the pay-per-view to be really, really damn good. Because that means it's not predictable. That's not the case tonight.
No.
No, I think a lot of the unpredictability came from some really screwy finishes.
Yeah, I just hope that's the exception to the rule. Tonight.
Heel finishes.
AJ beating Cena and breaking the Superman-Cena thing. That was good. That wasn't as expected. You know, Balor winning, you know, the championship so fast over Seth of all people. That's something I'm happy to be wrong about.
Yeah, same here. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would not have been upset had Seth actually won the title.
So now, really quick, before we do quick hicks, by the way, all-time greatest will return next week since we're running long. So continue to vote at WrestleTalkRadio.com. For the final week of Season 1, here are your scores for the week. Team Tim had 11 points. Team Lindsay had 30 points. Team
God, of course it did.
Team Rock had 32. Team Mike had 34. And Team Omega, for the final week, had 39 points. Now, were these 39 points able to keep Omega out of last place?
It started so well for me, didn't it?
So, with a total score of 109 points, the last place team was Team Tim.
Shut up.
Omega, your 39 points kept you out of last place.
This is all I ask for.
You came in fourth with 114.
We're number four! We're number four!
Team Mike had 131 points coming in at number three.
That's fine.
I came in second with 138.
Thank God for that 28-hour perfect week. Mm-hmm.
That perfect week so helped. Did not help us catch Lindsay, who had 210 points.
A meteor could have hit her team, and it wouldn't have helped.
The plan was for her to go backwards this week.
Exactly.
How did she get the name Team Fluffy? Is she a Gabriel Iglesias fan?
The Wyatt family have fluffy beards. So.
Okay, season two. Somebody pick everybody from the Wyatt family and that used to be on the Wyatt family just so she doesn't get them.
Thank you, Bray.
Well, here's the thing.
There's no dibs.
No, there is dibs. You each get to keep one person from your current team.
I'll take AJ, thank you.
We'll have all the rules and the one we're drafting later this week.
Yes.
Because there's going to be a little bit of twist and a new person added as well.
Who's coming on board?
We're going to add the intern.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. The intern is going to be a part of the show.
You do realize if he beats us, we're never going to live it down.
You know what we should do?
Stack it so he'd make sure he does.
Make all our picks first and then let him have his 10?
No.
Give us four picks for every one of his?
If he joins this competition, his number one overall pick has to be a certain someone.
Well, that's not going to earn him any points for the next 30 days.
Give me Eve Marie.
Boy,
thank you. Someone's following along.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for following along on that one.
Well, I could have said Paige. Give them Eva Marie, Paige, and Alberto Del Rio.
Okay.
Right off the hop, those are your first three picks. We did it for you. No need to thank us. And then his next seven are the ones you're going to hear about tomorrow.
Since I'm saying goodbye to them, I do want to I want to toast my boys, the Revival, for being the best 10th round pick ever. They produced for me.
Yeah, they did.
Because they won. Sports ball.
They won. They won you points because they won the belts back. And then retained the belts to take over. So there you go. That's WTR Fantasy. Now we're going to end with quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
You're all getting the same two questions. So we'll start with Mike. Mike, what was the best match you saw this weekend?
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe.
Tim, best match you saw this weekend?
AJ Styles, John Cena, only because I haven't caught the replay of an NXT takeover yet.
Mega, best match you saw this weekend?
Shit. No, you know what? Tag match. Revival versus Ciampa and Gargano.
Okay. Mike, best entrance you saw this weekend?
Glorious.
Tim, best entrance you saw this weekend?
Yeah, I'll say Finn Balor.
Omega, best entrance you saw this weekend?
Glorious. Nakamura, a very close second.
Nakamura. They made a violin in wrestling. Cool.
That was good. That was really good.
It wasn't. Yeah.
But that's quick hits.
And that's WTR Sunday night for, well, Sunday night. Everybody don't forget tomorrow immediately following Raw the Raw Post Show.
We'll recap everything that goes down on the fallout from SummerSlam, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Thursday night, midnight. What time do you guys go on? 10 o'clock Eastern?
There you go.
Another episode of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rack with your host, Lindsey Ward.
We're going to break down NXT TakeOver Back to Brooklyn. We're going to break down SummerSlam. We're going to talk all the news you can possibly handle, including... what is Shawn Michaels actually up to these days? Talk about that. The suspension. And so much more. It's The Rack. Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show to see the 21 SummerSlam moments. And all the sort of simulations that have been taking place over the last couple of days. Google, iTunes, Stitcher. You know it. Rack Radio Show. Now before Tim says, Saturday night's midnight, it's CB Radio here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This Saturday night, there will be no CB Radio. But you can follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio Live, Facebook.com/CB Radio Live. Check out the website, CBRadioLive.com, and hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies.
What happened to CB Radio?
We're taking the night off.
I was just going to blame Rob.
There you go. And we'll be back next Sunday night for the preview of Backlash right here on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Unbelievable. We're back to pay-per-views every other week.
Jesus Christ.
So a single non-pay-per-view show is a preview show.
And maybe the draft show. So we'll see how that goes. So, yeah, there you go. At WTR Sunday on Facebook, Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim.
Follow me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. Find me. On Facebook, I mean, seriously, find me on Facebook, facebook.com/menchefs. Just like, you know, type it in and then you can add me and I'll add you back and that's all, you know, fun and dandy. We were teasing about cookbook. Yeah, I wrote one. If you want to know anything about it, just email admin@mankitchentv.com. Am I good?
Let's see. All of my stuff is generally found where I am called TJ Omega. Well, unless you're looking to follow on Facebook where it's TJ Reviews. But everywhere else, TJ Omega is the YouTube channel, which usually has new content every single weekday. Unless I have a day so bad I want to set fire to everything and run to Mexico, which happens.
I've seen him on those days, people. Stay away.
Ain't pretty. Name pretty. TJ Omega is also the Twitter account, as well as the website, tjomega.org.
Yes, he's the man of a million views. So, Mike.
Blame TJ.
For those of you who want to follow me, you can look me up on the Twitter page, the WGR Oreo. Follow me, I'll follow you, and we can discuss couple things. Well, we'll see, because apparently this week I'm going to discuss Brock Lesnar just challenging Conor McGregor.
Okay, there you go. Follow on Twitter at the WTR Oreo. Remember, get us on iTunes. Search Wild Talk Radio Network. We're available on TuneIn Radio. Get the free app. You can listen on the go anytime, any place. We're live. Search Wild Talk Radio Network on TuneIn Radio. It's free, right, Tim?
It doesn't cost you anything either.
Stay tuned for another edition of WTR Sunday next week, where Tim makes another food that he'll eat midway through the show.
Oh, you wanted me to just say goodnight, everybody?
No, I'm serious. Make another food before the show, and then we'll do a taste test during the show, and it'll become a weekly thing.
You're gonna get me to take pictures and send them to you so I can put them up on the screen.
All right, let's not go too crazy.
It's a video.
Again, let's not go too crazy. Anyway,
don't forget everybody. Back to our regular time next Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Join us then. Maybe we'll find something funny to talk about.
WildTalkRadio.com.